Well, that didn't take long. It didn't take long for Alex Golish to make waves at SEC Media Days, his first SEC Media Days. Whoa. It didn't take long for...
What?
You're just... For those who are not on video, you need to check out the YouTube edition.
My webcam's still in Tampa. I left it there for Daryl.
Well, look, your title says Zach and Dap. We couldn't get Dap in the screen. Gosh, we can't get anybody
I'm emotionally in Tampa right now. I'm sorry.
You couldn't get a cricket on the screen right now. You're so up close. This is like in movies where they go for a tight shot for emotional, for that extra emotional emphasis.
Oh, we can get closer. All right. Let me know when you're ready for that.
I will. No, I will. He's Zach and he's back. And I'm Brad and this is Village Vice.
Here's the thing, Brad.
Okay.
We don't set goals here.
No, we don't.
We set standards.
Yeah.
And if you rise and meet those standards, the wins will come with it. Production will come with it. And being elite and pursuing championships will come with it.
That quote from Alex Golish yesterday has made waves. That has been the lasting, like the take-home quote, I think, from the Auburn perspective. And it's affecting the way other coaches talk at media days, which blows my mind, but fits the pattern.
I did a radio interview after when I was driving home from Tampa yesterday.
How nice. Yes.
And how nice. What? But the guy cut me off when I was like talking about everything Golish said. And he's like, so he's not goal-ish. Mm-mm. And I'm like, that's great.
Yeah.
I'll come on anytime. That like that was my first time going to some show in like South Carolina. I'm like, I like you. That's hilarious. Yeah. Let me know when you want me back on.
It's Alex Standards-ish is the new name for the Auburn head coach. Forget the goals. No, it didn't take long for him to tick people off, a certain segment of people. And it's the same segment of people that have been mad at him for the last 8 months.
Who's mad at him for that? He didn't do anything like controversial at all. Which I said was the goal-ish for him to do.
Except, Zach, he was in demand. So yesterday, there's this radio station in Tampa. Just radio station. You know, old school, classic radio station. AM sports talk station in Tampa. And they're midday. Around.
They're hanging on.
They're midday host.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Golish refused to meet with us. I don't understand how a sitting coach in the SEC doesn't come and talk to media from the host city. That's unreasonable and unconscionable, and I can't believe it. And the station reposted it, and other people from the radio station are posting about it. And apparently the big headline in Tampa from Media Days is, you know, noted SEC city Tampa Bay. Tampa didn't get the Auburn football coach.
Hmm.
Boy, they're mad about it. Like, not a little mad. They're a whole lot mad.
Wow, there's a lot of things I want to say here.
Okay. could you maybe come in a little closer? Could you maybe get a little closer and talk to our audience? If you want to... Okay, no, too close.
I think this is good.
We can tell you're a man of good hygiene because if there was anything in that beard, it'd be showing up.
Sure,
high def. Right. All right, so Tampa radio station didn't get goalish yesterday, Zach.
I mean, like most people didn't get goalish yesterday.
The
most listened to Auburn platforms didn't get goalish yesterday.
Yeah.
He went on radio in Birmingham. He's got a relationship with Cole. Like, okay, that makes sense. Not mad about that at all. For some reason, everybody gives everybody to the next round. Okay, whatever. And then there was some other podcast that I don't – I might have been too honest – that doesn't that I wasn't familiar with. And, like, they didn't really seem to have an audience, but Golish went on with them. So I thought that was interesting. But he did a lot of radio. He didn't do a lot of like podcasting. So that is a little funny that he didn't do Orlando. But he did, he didn't go many places yesterday.
Boy, they put you through the ringer at Media Days too. Like there's like 30 rooms that you go in and out of. And
yeah, ESPN has a room. Yeah. SiriusXM has a room. CBS has a room. Yeah.
And I think to your point, how many people are out there? Because you were there for the last couple of days. How many media outlets are we talking about that are just there in general along that digital drive or what used to be Radio Row or whatever?
There were probably 40 tables.
Okay. All right. Yeah, it's weird.
I would say 10 were from Alabama, but yeah. The state of Alabama.
Yeah. It's odd to me because this is in keeping with this general idea from South Florida fans that Alex Golish owed them something more than he gave them. And I've tried to stay away a little bit from the whole USF fan controversy thing, but
no, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Like more than have I, you? More than we could have. Yeah, we haven't.
Well, I don't think you've done a very good job at it.
Well, that wouldn't be the first time, would it? But he doesn't owe you anything else.
Yeah.
He took your program, which had mm-hmm. some proud beginnings, mm-hmm. had fallen to new depths, had never right. been as low, never been as low, never been as low as it was before he took over.
What, 4 wins, 3 years?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a winning record year one.
Mm-hmm.
If his elite quarterback doesn't get injured in year two, they don't go 7-6.
I talked to some Orlando media while I was down there.
Yeah.
They were super complimentary of Golish.
Well, Orlando media is not Tampa media, though. Did you talk to Tampa media specifically about him?
No.
Okay.
It's because the same thing.
It's not the same thing. No, it's not the same thing.
I think Orlando and Tampa, they're close enough.
Yeah, but they don't believe they're the same thing. Orlando and Tampa.
I think the Orlando guy did.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I mean, think about his – all right, let me lean into this a little bit because we got a comment on yesterday's show talking about how the next round guys weren't impressed with Golish's record at South Florida.
And I want to clear something up. I actually don't think they got Byram. I actually don't think Golish went on with them.
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right.
Because they asked Byram about the throwing motion thing.
And posted it from the 8-minute interview. Question. Yeah, that was the clip they posted from the entire 8-minute interview.
That's right.
I'm glad that we got that question out there on film because nobody else has asked it in the last 7 months. Anyway.
You get 8 minutes. That's what you went with.
And that's what you post. Like that's here. We're most proud of this. Cool. All right. Post the DeBoer interview today and ask him how they're going to actually commit to running the ball better. We'll get to all that. The USF fans that think he owes them more than what he's already done, that's ludicrous. The media thinking he owes them anything is ludicrous. It doesn't make any sense.
This is a culture thing.
Yeah.
I feel like you're owed anything from anyone, I think, is like you can't operate that way.
Right.
You just can't. And there are some, and I'm not talking about the next round here. I'm talking about your On Three is going to get the interview.
Yeah.
Sirius is going to get the interview. There's going to be these massive national outlets. But we can agree or disagree on if they deserve it or not. But that's just how it works. And it's not the individual people that are getting them. It's the outlet. Doesn't matter who's doing the interview at On Three. Like they're going to get it, which is fine. Whatever. Yeah. They do a good job. But to act like you're owed anything in this industry or in any industry.
Yeah.
It's just not the way you go about. Like you're not going to win with that mindset that you're owed anything.
Yeah. It reeks of defensiveness, desperation, insecurity maybe is the better word. It's a really insecure stance to take. I feel like you're owed anything at any time by anyone. But I kind of think, though, Zach, that this is a product of an Alex Golish program. All right? Hang with me. I think he instills something in the fan base that says, no, we're giants. We are absolutely giants, and we should get the same treatment everybody else gets all the time because we are bona fide giants. Am I off base on that, that over the last 3 years and the way he elevated that program, he caused them to think that they're in a better spot than they are in the college football universe, in the pecking order, so to speak?
They are in a better spot than they were.
Right. Okay. Yeah, they are. And that's affected the fan base in a really strong way. Like, they didn't act like this in 07 when they came here and won. It's very different now. All right. Now, separately, his 3-year record at South Florida, just quickly to kind of a quick thought about this. 7-6 okay. Year one, 6-game turnaround. 7-6 in year two. If you think they go 7-6 with a healthy Byron Brown, that doesn't make any sense at all. And then year three, 9-3. Huh?
Oh, at USF. Got it.
Yeah. Okay. At USF. Got it. That clear, if he's healthy the whole year,
I got it.
In 24, yep. They're winning 9 games probably.
I'm with you.
All right. Then last year they go 9-3. And their 3 losses are at Miami, 3-point loss at Memphis, 3-point loss at Navy. And they scored north of 30 points in those 2 losses on the road in conference play. That's year 3. I don't – somebody commented yesterday that there's a narrative that – this is on our show yesterday, a comment – that there's a narrative that if you're going to be successful in the SEC, you need to dominate at a lower level. And if you don't dominate at that lower level, then you can't have success in the SEC. What's that narrative based on? I don't think there is no basis for that narrative. Like, it's,
that is a narrative for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. And like, this isn't a good thing.
Okay.
But as far as the like rising coach thing,
yeah,
I think a lot of it's just like, it's randomness. Yeah. Like Gene Chizik was what, 5-19 or whatever, 5-17.
Yeah.
At Iowa State beforehand. Yeah, he got Cam, but getting the players matters.
Yeah.
Right. But like, I think when you look at these guys going from a smaller level of competition to the SEC or to the Big Ten or whatever.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this is, I mean, how many like can't miss guys have there been? I mean, remember when Luke Fickell was like the guy? Got Cincinnati to the college football playoff, the 4-team college football playoff. And it's like, man, whoever gets this guy's good. And he went to Wisconsion.
Even after he flamed out in his 1 year at Ohio State in the quick turnaround replacing Tressel. I'll give you one better than that. Tom Herman. Remember when Tom Herman was like the second coming of Lloyd Carr or some other successful coach, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Now, I do think, like, when you talk about path and you think about the elite coaches in the game today.
Yeah.
And Cignetti is, if you're pro-goalish working out, I do think Cignetti is your argument. I think that's pretty extreme, but that is your argument.
Yeah.
The elite coaches in the game today, they got their spot from a coordinator. They were from being an elite coordinator for an extended amount of time. Dan Lanning. Kirby Smart, Ryan Day, Notre Dame's head coach, and I'm totally blanking on his name,
Marcus
but I really
Freeman.
Like him.
Yeah,
Marcus Freeman. So like, I think that is the route.
Yeah.
When you look at the elite coaches, is you help build up a program and be an elite coordinator. Then when you get your shot at a place that makes a ton of sense, you go there.
Yeah.
But it's not a perfect science, or everyone would have good coaches.
Correct.
And so, like, you have to look at the traits of the head coach. And when you look at Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, Marcus Freeman, Ryan Day, and we'll put Kirk Cignetti in there, they all care about toughness. Mm-hmm. They all care about attention to detail. They all care about standards. And they all care about all of these little things that lead into making things different than the teams that they're playing against. Their teams make fewer mistakes, and they also put more effort into talent acquisition. They have the money to back it up. They all have those things in common. They do it in different ways, but they all have those things in common.
Yeah. So then,
like, every coach says it. Brian Harsin said it. Hugh Freeze kind of said it. But when you look at what Golish is doing so far, he hasn't played a game yet. He hasn't. But everything we've seen up to this point, it does reflect those traits and characteristics of what the top programs in college football are doing right now. We just got to wait and see what it looks like.
It's not easy.
But the path argument, I think it's random. Yeah. It's so like about fit and do you get the right players and do you get the right quarterback? And your first few years, like, you need a little bit of like things to like bounce your way.
Yeah.
Does Kirby develop differently if Auburn wins in Athens year one? I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, that's a good question.
If Sean White doesn't have a noodle arm and we trot him out there, like, do things develop differently? We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know because that's not what happened.
Yeah. Or if Kerryon's healthy and you win the 2017 SEC championship game and you've beaten Georgia twice in the same year. And
Who knows, dude? Yeah. Who knows?
Right.
What happens if Bo Nix doesn't get hurt against Mississippi State and then you know, they play the same way they did Nick? Like, does Brian Harsin get off the ground? Like, we don't know.
Right.
We don't know.
That's my number one. Aside from the really long butterfly effect of if Auburn had won the 2013 national championship game, I think A&M pays Gus $70 million instead of Jimbo, and Gus goes to A&M and Jimbo Fisher comes here in 18 or whatever year that was. So, but other than that, Bo Nix staying healthy and winning the 21 Iron Bowl is the biggest butterfly effect I can come up with in recent Auburn football history. Everything is different if all that happens. Everything is different. The offseason, the offseason goes differently. It all goes differently. Everything goes differently. So, all right. Good. Today's show, can we talk some sponsorships here before we talk about Ford Stokes and Active Wealth Management? Let's mention Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika. They have an old car of mine right now. They're testing it. They're trying to figure out what's wrong with it so we can get up and running again.
Did you mention beat the heat?
No, because that's not what this is for. I did mention, though, the barn. I mentioned Village Vice. And you should, too. Right now, if your car is not ready for the rest of summer, buddy, it's going to be hot for a long time still around this area. So beat the heat. Just
beat it.
Beat the heat.
Get
in here. Look, Zach's getting in close to tell you. Beat the heat. Make sure you say that when you go in at Precision Tune Auto Care of Opelika.
As close to their face as possible.
Ford Stokes Active Wealth Management. Tell us up close and personal, Zach, about Active Wealth.
Yes, Ford Stokes Active Wealth Management. If you have any questions regarding, okay, what do I do with this money? How can I make money work for me? Or, hey, retirement is in the near future or, you know, 4 or 5 years away. What does life look like for me? Almost certainly, Ford Stokes can help you prepare for that. He's one of the few like certified Social Security folks in the state of Georgia. He also can serve Alabama, has a ton of products that he can offer. I can offer them as well. You can email me if you're more comfortable with that, Zach@activewealth.com. You can also email Ford@activewealth.com. You can also get on both of our calendars. Just go to Calendly.com/Ford Stokes. We would love to meet with y'all. Met with somebody Saturday morning this previous weekend. So
you just grind all the time. Saturday morning working engagements. I love it.
I love it.
It's good stuff. All right.
Especially this. Like, it's fun how seeing like people that is like, oh my gosh, I'm screwed when I retire in 5 years. It's like, no, you're not.
Right.
You're not.
Yeah, you just need a plan.
And like Ford does the math and there's all these like, you know, illustrations that he can do and kind of saying like, yes, this is actually like how the math works. And it's like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. What do I need to do? And then we tell him it's great.
The three of us should sit down at Mama G's sometime. We should just go have lunch together and you know, have a chat.
Yeah.
I think it'd be
soggy
great.
Soggy sandwich.
Stop. Wouldn't you stop? All right. I don't want to take too long on this, but today is Florida Day at SEC Media Days. So we're going to all wave the palm branches for John Summerall. And it's also Alabama Day at SEC Media Days. And I got to, again, I'm not going to take too long on it, but who needs benzodiazepines when you have Caleb DeBoer behind a microphone?
What does that mean?
They don't call him. His name isn't Kalen DeRiveting. It's Kalen DeBoer. He just.
Well, what was the drug you just said?
Benzodiazepine. It's like a class of sedatives.
It puts you to sleep?
Yeah.
Got it. Dude, and I felt like his first media days, he walked around with a little bit of aura and like swagger. It is gone.
Yeah.
It has left his body.
He just look, and I get the rivalry and I understand bias, but yeah, he just looks like another guy. Like he looks like Shane Beamer walking around media days. He looks like, you know, he's like Clark Lee walking around media days. He just kind of.
I kind of like Clark Lee now.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you do?
Not at a podium. He was walking around.
Yeah.
And like not at a podium, but he's like dapping people up. The guy's jacked. Didn't realize that.
Yeah. Now he is.
And like he was the only one like not really wearing a suit or anything. Yeah. Like he was just wearing like khakis and like a pullover. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. No, he'll wear an adult small shirt now to show off that he's jacked.
Dude, if I looked like him.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Yeah, for sure.
He's put effort in. For sure. And not watching him interact with people like not behind the microphone, I'm like,
yeah.
I get why people would want to play for that guy.
So there's some let's try that again. So there's some authenticity to him.
I think so.
Some genuineness. Yeah.
My opinion of Clark Lee changed a little bit. Now I still think Vandy's gonna take a step back or whatever, but yeah. I've kind of like poked fun at Clark Lee and I don't think I'm going to anymore. I like him. He seems like a bro.
I agree with that statement. Yes. Yes. Seems like a bro. He does.
And I think he's a solid coach. And I think as soon as somebody other than Vandy calls him, he will leave Vandy. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, if he wins 8 games this year.
If he wins 8 games this year, like he's the number one candidate in the country.
Correct. Yeah. And he can take his quarterback with him and all that. So for sure. All right. Kalen DeBoer. Alex Golish and Kalen DeBoer have not coached against each other yet. It's 0-0. What they have done is share a stage, share a microphone a couple of different times. All right. The Mobile thing a few weeks ago and media days this week. Buddy, there's no objective comparison between the two. One is confident.
Brad, It doesn't matter.
I mean, they haven't played a game yet, Zach. You can't judge results on the field yet.
But DeBoer has. DeBoer's coached a game. He's coached several games, and he got Bama to the playoff.
A much different situation.
It is
what
different.
What he stepped into was a much different situation.
It is different, but we can't compare them yet.
No, that's you can't compare their results on the field, right? We're in agreement there. Yeah.
You're just comparing how they talk into a microphone.
You can compare their presence in public. You can compare their vision for their program and how they answer questions and all that, which doesn't give you a point on the scoreboard in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
But you can compare them. You can compare those things.
Yeah, and once again, like traits, like Golish looks eager, excited, ready for fall camp to start. DeBoer looks tired.
Yeah.
He does look tired. I'm not saying he is tired. I'm not saying he acts tired, but like he looks exhausted.
Yeah. Greg Sankey in his intro didn't do him any favors. He talked about how he went to Canada for his vacation. And I'm like, yeah, got as far away from Tuscaloosa as he possibly could and still be on the North American continent.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot.
Where would you, if you had to take a vacation in Canada, where would you go?
I don't know. I don't have any idea. Everybody likes Banff. Like that's a popular thing, place to go.
What's it called?
Banff.
Is that an F on the end?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know
much about it, but.
Got it. You know more than me. I never heard of it.
Apparently it's up in Canada somewhere.
Cool. Great.
I'm not sure.
I hear it's lovely this time of year.
Sure. Yeah. I don't know. Hey, I bet it's not 95 and 1,000% humidity.
Do you hear Coach Golish flex about his fishing pond in his backyard yesterday?
You talk about having people over and fishing in the backyard. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, you're the head coach at Auburn. You can have a pond in your backyard.
You hear him call Gavin Jenkins an NFL corner?
I heard you tout that. That's coming up. So if you have an NFL corner in Gavin Jenkins and a guy in Champ Anthony who could play
anywhere. I'd like to post-show the Gavin Jenkins conversation, if that's okay with you, actually.
Of course, yeah. And we might even can get into a little bit, too, because I know we're over 25 now. But what do you do in the secondary if Champ can play anywhere?
And Champ wouldn't really answer that question yesterday.
Right. Yeah. So you got to really – this might even be a stronger position group than you thought heading into the season. So.
Deep, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I want to tell the Gavin Jenkins thing on the post show. So okay. Let's go do that.
Become a member. $5 a month. You get access to all the members-only videos. Better deal than Netflix. Better deal than Apple TV. It's more of the barn that you love.
Why watch Silo on Apple TV when you can watch More of Us?
I mean, you can choose a Silo or the barn. And frankly, I think barns are better than silos. They're similar, but barns are better.
They team up often.
Often, yeah. Where you do see a barn, you see a silo in a bunch of places. That's true. Don't see a lot of standalone silos.
No. I think a silo needs a barn.
Yeah.
Barn exactly. Doesn't need a silo. And that does it for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for being a part. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Come in close. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.